In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead, and by the command of my Holy Father, command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord lifts up the humble.
He casts the wicked to the ground.
Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. A song of praise is fitting. The Lord builds up Jerusalem.
He gathers the outcast of Israel.
He heals the brokenhearted
and binds up their wounds.
He determines the number of the stars.
He gives to all of them their names.
Great is our Lord and abundant in power. The Lord lifts up the humble.
He casts the wicked to the ground.
Lord, have mercy upon us. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, you exalted your Son to the place of all honor and authority. Enlighten our minds by your Holy Spirit, that confessing Jesus as Lord, we may be led into all truth. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Be seated. The Old Testament reading appointed for this day is found in the 18th chapter of the prophet Ezekiel. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you mean by repeating this proverb concerning the land of Israel? The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, declares the Lord God, this proverb shall no more be used by you in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. The soul who sins shall die. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not just. Hear now, O house of Israel, is my way not just? Is it not your ways that are not just? When a righteous person turns away from his righteousness and does injustice, he shall die for it. For the injustice that he has done, he shall die. Again, when a wicked person turns away from the wickedness he has committed and does what is just and right, he shall save his life. Because he considered and turned away from all the transgressions that he had committed, he shall surely live. He shall not die. Yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not just. O house of Israel, are my ways not just? Is it not your ways that are not just? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, declares the Lord God. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, lest iniquity be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions that you have committed, and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Lord. So turn and live. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle reading, or rather the gradual, he will command his angels concerning you. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now the epistle reading is found in Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 2. If there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count yourselves more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand in honor of the gospel. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
I'm taking exception and adding to our Gospel reading, it lists verses 23 through 27. But in the old pericope system, there were a few more verses added, and I think that that's helpful for us. I'll read on verses 28 through 32. So reading that gospel reading. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priest and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus answered them, "I also will ask you one question, and if you tell me the answer, then I also will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, from where did it come? From heaven or from man?" And they discussed it among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say from man, we are afraid of the crowd, for they all hold that John was a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." And then he continued saying, "What do you think? A man had two sons. And he went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' And he answered, 'I will not.' But afterward he changed his mind and went. And he went to the other son and said the same. And he answered, 'I go, sir,' but did not go. Which of the two did the will of the Father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and prostitutes believed him. And even when they saw it, you did not afterward change your mind and believe him." This is the gospel of the Lord. We now confess our faith to one another and to the world in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Be seated. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our meditation is that gospel reading that I read from Matthew 21, those extended verses as well. Let us pray. O Lord our God, I pray that the words of my lips and the meditation of our hearts might be pleasing, acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Amen. Now, again, just a little background. Years ago, the pericope system, which is a nice Greek word for the readings that we have, and they were all chosen, and over time, those sometimes would change a little bit, and I think in our last hymnal, they revised some of the readings a little bit, shortened some of them, lengthened some of them. This was one that they shortened that I wish they had not shortened. Because the reading itself that was in your bulletin is fine, but then it doesn't quite explain everything. Jesus' little story afterwards really gives us a lot more depth into understanding those words before. And so that's why we got to hear the story of these two sons, one a younger and one older. One who said yes when his father asked him to go to work in the vineyard, and then he didn't do it. He said no to his father. Well, wait a minute. The first one said, yes, I'll go, and then he didn't do it. And then the second one said, yeah, I'll go, but later changed his mind and didn't go. Now, I know there are a number of parents here. Is that a familiar story? Pretty much, yeah. Did one of your children ever tell you that they would do something and then not do it? We can think of all kinds of examples of that. How about the other way around? Times whenever they said they weren't going to do what you wanted them to do and then they later changed their mind and they did it. Now, I'm not going to ask this young man sitting out there if he's one of those that happened to. Maybe I should ask it this way. All of us here at one time were children. Did you ever tell your parents that you would do something and then not do it? Sure. Or the other way around. You said, oh no, I'm not going to do that, and later changed your mind. Sure, we've probably done that. It's a common experience. And it's a perfect experience for Jesus to use this as an example of what authority and obedience is and isn't. And that's what he was getting at with these chief priests and the scribes. So he tells this story. A certain man had two sons. He went to the older and said, go work in a vineyard today. And the boy answers, and boy, you can imagine some of what he might have said, can't you? The tone of that response. No way, Dad, I can't go. I've got other plans. I can't make it. Nope, besides, it's not my turn. Go ask my other brother. He'll do it. You're always after me. It's not fair. Forget it. Yeah, we've kind of heard those. For the boy, it seems there's no respect for his father, no admiration, no honor at all. And for the father, for him, there's this sick feeling in the pit of his stomach, a feeling that this son has gone wrong. He doesn't care. Situation's out of control. Family out of control. Nothing good's going to come of it. Indeed, most likely, all kinds of harm. And many of us have been there. Probably most all of us have been there as parents. But now I want you to do something a little different this morning. I want you to imagine this story from the point of view of God, the God who invites us to work in building a better kingdom in His world, the God who invites us to work in the vineyard so that it will yield the best fruit in the world, and a vineyard that produces joy and love and peace and hope and strength. My son over whom I have labored so diligently. My son whom I have given everything to, a fine land, a fine home, blessings too numerous to count. Isn't that really the way it is with so many people today? The way it is not only with so many children, but even with so many of us adults as well. Live in a fine land. We have fine homes, blessings too numerous to count. And yet, how often do we not say to God, the source of all these good things, well, who are you? What do you want? I don't owe you anything. I've got better things to do with my time than to attend church. Better things to do with my money than to share it with lazy people who go down to the welfare office and get money and food banks who get free food. There's no way I'm going to sit still for more than an hour at a time and listen to a lot of talk about faith and sing a bunch of hymns I don't really like, can't understand, when I could be watching a ball game or down at the beach or out sunning or down at a casino trying to win some money. There's certainly no way that I would actually work to make this experience of my Christian community a little better, to better myself or my neighbors by going to church, going to Sunday school, attending Bible class, volunteering to help in committees, doing things in my community, being friendly and encouraging. Just not my thing. And as for actually going out and telling others about the wonderful things that God has done, actually working for justice and visiting strangers in prison or giving a panhandler a couple of bucks to maybe get him a meal or helping a single mother. As for actually doing anything for anyone who's not a very close friend or at least family member, well, you can forget that. I don't believe in that stuff. Evangelism is for the pastor and those people who are in trouble. Those people, if they would stop doing what they're doing, if they would stop spending their money on booze and resources and killing each other off, they'd have everything they need and we wouldn't have to do anything for them. So no, God, I'm not going to help you. I'm not working for you. I've got better things to do with my time, my money. What you want isn't important. I just don't care. How wonderful. I mean, think how the Father would feel. Anything but wonderful. Now, on the other hand, how wonderful it must have been for that father when he went to his other son in this story. We're told it was the youngest son, and told him to go out into the vineyard to work. Yes, Father, I'll go. Imagine that for a minute. Imagine now how the father's heart felt. My child cares for me and what I want. My child has respect. My child is willing to do the work that the world needs so I can have fine fruit in my vineyard. To have the healing word be spoken, my healing touch. But of course, we know what happens in this story, don't we? We know from that story Jesus told that what happened, we know it from our own experience, our own families, our friends. We know just how that father felt, just how God feels when that willing son did not do what he said he would do. The willing son changed his mind and did what he first said he would do. Some say Jesus told this parable, this story, to the chief priest and the leaders of the people in order to kind of shame them, to force them to recognize that they're a lot like that younger son, outwardly willing to obey and worship God, but inwardly quite rebellious, self-righteous, hypocritical, disobedient. They say we should understand the words of this story in the context of verses 23 through 28, the beginning of our gospel reading, where the chief priests, the leaders, question Jesus about his authority to teach and to do miracles. That we should understand this story as a way of Jesus kind of getting back at it. suggesting they were like the younger son, disobedient. They were the sinners who came to Jesus for mercy, those who changed their mind about how they were living and asked for healing, those whom the chief priest and the scribes couldn't abide because they were tax collectors and prostitutes. They, in the end, were like that older son. And I believe there's a lot of truth in that. I mean, the way Jesus ends the story seems to indicate that. When he says in the final verses, you can be sure that the tax collectors and prostitutes will get into the kingdom of God before you ever will. Ooh, that's a little tough. When John the Baptist showed you how to do right, you would not believe him. But these evil people did believe. And even when you saw what they did, you still would not change your minds and believe. Boy, talk about stubborn people. But to leave this story just right there, I think is really missing part of the importance for us today. It's kind of like missing the point of punctuation. I'll read the one sentence. Let's eat grandma, exclamation point. Now read it. Let's eat, comma, grandma. A little different meaning there, isn't it? Punctuation makes a lot of difference. It can save lives. And so can a proper understanding of that story. So to leave it at really this basic level kind of reduces the gospel to just simple history. And the gospel is not, it never was meant to be simply history and history alone. We're here today, and we know that the chief priest and the leaders of the people blew it. We've heard it over and over. We know their religion was a matter of outward appearance rather than an inner passion. So what, you might say? Nothing new there. What illumination does that give us? What value does making this judgment have, aside from making us feel a little better about ourselves, possibly? Well, I think of greater value for us today is to ask ourselves, which child are we? Are we the ones who can recite the creed, have our children baptized, even work in the church and do a lot of things that seem good and holy, and yet not really see and believe that God is working in and around us, much as those chief priests had refused to believe that God was working in John the Baptist or in Jesus, the son of Joseph and Mary? Are we familiar with religion, practiced even at religion, but unacquainted with what faith is all about and with what faith requires of us in our hearts, our heads, our attitudes, our actions? What does it require of us and what does it do for us? Or are we the ones who said at first, no way, God, forget it. You don't even exist, and if you do, you aren't what I want in a God. I've got better things than to pray and read a silly old book with all its rules and regulations, its wars and woes, its contradictions and craziness. Are we the ones who've led a life that is truly wrong, clearly wrong, where we cheated on mates, stole from our employers, drank, did drugs, lived on the street any way we could, and then changed our minds? Then when listening to the pain that is within every human being, the voice promising forgiveness and wholeness that comes from without through people like John and Jesus and you and me who have turned and received a new life? Or maybe we're somewhere in between. We are children of God, no doubt about that, who try hard some days to be quite faithful. And then on other days, we just kind of let the hardness of our heart, our selfishness, our unwillingness to see God and listen, get the better of us. I think that's the real profit from this passage today, in asking who we are and what it means. And in asking who we are and what it means, considering the good news that Jesus proclaims both in this story and elsewhere throughout Scripture, the good news that it is possible to change one's mind. It's never too late. Never, ever too late. Today, at least, to become a child that is destined to see and enter the kingdom of God. It's all a matter of saving faith, a matter of seeing that God is willing and able, of believing that and going forth and laboring at the work that He's asked us to do. It's a matter of seeing that God is forgiving and gracious, of seeing that God is more interested in saving His children than letting them perish, of accepting that God will give us a new life no matter how bad our old life was. And He's able to accomplish it in us, no matter how defiled we think we have become, when we turn to Him and let Him have His way with us. It's a matter of seeing. For those of us whose lives are not so inwardly desperate, a matter of seeing that God is present in the most unlikeliest of persons that work around us each day. That just like He spoke through a man out in the wilderness named John, who wore all these funny clothes and had this funny diet, and how He spoke through a carpenter's son and worked wonders in a world around him. So God today is present in the most unlikely of persons, in the least of our brothers and sisters, and that while present there in them, He wants us to minister to Him, to minister with a cup of cold water, to minister with some clothing to cover their bodies, to minister hope and encouragement when they're placed in prison, to bring comfort when they're sick in bed. The gospel I preach here today is not a gospel of what work we must or must not do. It's not a matter of whether we give a tenth of our income to God each year and successfully avoid committing one or another of the seven deadly sins. The gospel I preach today is a gospel concerning faith. It's the gospel of believing, and in believing, in hoping, in praying, and in praying, in opening oneself up to the power of God, to the will of God. Today, it's never too late to say to God, I believe, help my unbelief. It's never too late to say to God, yes, I'll go out in the vineyard after all. I will go with you and you as you go with me to work to bring the good news of your love to my family, to my friends, to the whole world by what I say and what I do. I will worship you and work with you and obey your will. May that be our prayer this day and every day. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the proclamation of repentance, for the forgiveness of sins, that by the pure tongues of Christ's servants, the tongues of the wicked may be silenced, their evil ways cast aside, and their sins washed away. Let us pray to the Lord. For the kingdom of God, that with one mind and will we may serve the Lord with gladness. Let us pray to the Lord. For all people in their vocations, that delighting in the Lord's loving kindness, they may joyfully serve their neighbors. Let us pray for the Lord. for our leaders and those who serve in our armed forces, that having been appointed by Him before whom the might of man is nothing, they might serve honorably and well. Let us pray to the Lord. For the comfort of God's love and encouragement of His Christ, that all who suffer, especially as we place before Your throne of mercy and grace, Lord, Pastor Scott and Judy, Larry and Robert, Mary and Alfred, Jerry, Cynthia, Cassidy and twins Rhea and Emerson, Dean and Sue, Barbara, Scott, Bob, Don and Donna, J.D., and Briella. And for all those we name in our hearts, we pray that they would be found ready, would find a ready and worthy Savior in every affliction. Let us pray to the Lord. For all who confess the name of Jesus Christ as Lord, that receiving our humble Savior in the humble means of His supper, we may give Him our worship and thanks. Let us pray to the Lord. Merciful Lord, in You there is no shadow due to change. Enkindle Your divine light in us, that we may stand united as Christ's own body, holding fast to the word of life and shining brightly in the midst of this world's darkness. Through the same Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, being obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, the highest. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people. Israel. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good.
Ever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to You, Almighty God, that You have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore You that of Your mercy You would strengthen us through the same in faith toward You and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace.